Hello and welcome to a quick hit edition of the Alabama Football Podcast. We're recording after Alabama's nightmare game with Ole Miss. Wow, what an exciting contest. Frustrating as hell from an Alabama fan perspective. I think I'm in hour 11 of post-game meditation and breathing exercises and still probably not fully calmed down from this game. 63-48, that's incredible. Truly today is going to just be a quick hit. I've got a couple of points I want to run through. I don't know that I have any conclusions. I don't know that I have any remedies or solutions for what we saw, especially on the defensive side of the ball. But going to put a couple of points in play, and hopefully by the time we record the full show, I'll have maybe some more fully fleshed out thoughts. Yesterday, Saturday morning on our Zoom call, we had, and I think it was Doug, I wrote everything down on my whiteboard, and then after the call, I wiped away my whiteboard, so I missed it, exactly who sort of predicted what, but I think Doug predicted a 35-24 game, and so we kind of kidded at the point of the call that, hey, you're calling, you're calling a tight game, right? We're going to be, you know, that's an 11-point contest, right? And so, 11-point contest and into the fourth quarter is still an open game. It's still something that we'd have to watch for. And so we kind of kidded like, you're predicting we're going to have to pay attention to every play, every snap all the way through the game. And we thought weather might play a part. Well, who would have known that we would have gotten his prediction, but in steroids, almost doubled 35-24, almost doubled that from an Alabama perspective, Alabama scoring 63, and exactly did double that from an Ole Miss perspective, 24, they scored 48. So a 15-point margin versus 11, but clearly, truly a game that was in the air. Either team could have won that until the last couple minutes, even when Alabama scored a late touchdown had sort of caused Ole Miss to blink, kicking a field goal. With the onside kick, there was still a point where they could have recovered the onside kick. And the way they were moving the ball, I wouldn't have bet against them. But Najee breaking away for that touchdown, just the yells that I had when that happened, because at that point you truly knew that there was more time, there was more points than there was time. At that point. So just kind of a wow. And even just thinking about it, I'm sort of getting wound up again. So let's hit, not to be too trite, but I've got a couple things on offense and a couple things on defense that I want to hit. And again, no conclusions. We're not drawing any conclusions. I'm not going to, you know, don't come to me with answers. How and why did this happen? Because I don't have them. But a couple of points that I want to pull out, and I'm specifically doing this before I've sort of consumed any of the post game content. A lot of articles, a lot of commentary, and I've purposely avoided all of that so far this morning. So this is just thoughts sort of coming from my head. On offense, I just want to sit back and say, wow, 723 yards of total offense. I just think is incredible. Couple of individual performers, Mac Jones, I thought he was outstanding. 28 of 32 in his passing for 417 yards, two touchdowns on the day. But think about this, right? 28 of 32, that's 87, almost 88% passing. A father and son in the backyard having a toss, they may not complete at that rate. And so for Mac to go out against the defense in a live contest under the pressure and in the weather that this game had, the fact that that he was able to put up those kinds of numbers is just outstanding. And in a game where we expected and hoped and needed the running game to stand up, for Najee to come through and produce 206 yards on, I would say, only 23 carries is pretty darn impressive. And the fact that he put up five touchdowns, and we needed every single one of those, including the last one that allowed us to just exhale and sort of realize that this game is over. We needed every inch that he gained, and we needed every point that he put on the board. And I celebrate both of those performances. There's a number of other performances, and we'll talk about those in our expanded show. But those – Those are the cream that sort of bubble up to the top, and then sort of in a quick reflection, you just got to celebrate those. Another point that I want to make on offense is the pressure. Not only did they perform and put up those numbers, but the pressure, and not just those guys, but the offensive linemen and the tight ends. And I saw us play three and four tight ends at different spots. And we'll talk about that. But everyone who came in on the offensive side of the ball performed with tangible pressure, palpable pressure. There had to have been a reality on the offensive side of the ball that says, guys, if we don't score a touchdown every time we touch the ball, we might lose this game. And to go out and perform under that pressure. Now, as a fan, as an Alabama fan, we sort of feel, and think about if you were sitting next to an Ole Miss fan, right? You're going to feel more pressure about this game than an Ole Miss fan is. An Ole Miss fan, of course they want to win, but they are ecstatic that they're competing and that it's not a blowout. It was a 24-point, you know, margin, that they're not being blown out. And so from the Ole Miss team perspective, their offense is going to go out there and cut it loose, and let's see how it lands. From an Alabama offense perspective, we got to go out there and score, or we're going to lose this game. We're going to get upset. Our dreams of winning the SEC, of competing for a national title, they might be dashed. And so the pressure that the Alabama offense felt is significantly larger than the pressure that the Ole Miss offense felt. And for them to go out and produce and perform in the face of that pressure, and in fact, it was the Ole Miss offense that flinched first. They had to kick the field goal in a tight situation, whereas the Alabama offense continued to roll up the touchdowns. That, I think, is the takeaway for me, that the Alabama offense, not only did they put up the numbers, but they did so in truly a pressure-packed situation. You could say, well, it's an Ole Miss offense that sucks. They're no good. Okay, that's fine. But the strength of the defense has nothing to do with someone jumping off sides. The strength of the defense has nothing to do with anyone, with when someone sort of clinching in a big moment and dropping a pass. And so I think that the sort of the mental fortitude that Coach speaks to, that was demonstrated by the offensive players to continue to put up that level of production and that level of sort of pressure cooker situation, I think is phenomenal. Now, let's flip the field and talk about defense. And so just, you know, three sort of quick things I want to say about defense. And again, I'm going to reiterate that I'm not going to be conclusive. I'm not going to have your answers on the defensive side of the ball, but I want to praise the effort. I want to start with the effort. There were missed tackles, there were missed assignments, but there was not a lack of hustle, even at the point of exhaustion. Coach Saban definitely shrunk his bench in this game. And so in a game where you would have expected Alabama to pull away two, three score point, you know, a score lead, that we would have rotated in more subs. And with this game being sort of tit for tat for most of the contest, the starting defense played in. So they were absolutely just gassed. They were absolutely exhausted. We did our standard rotation across the defensive front, standard, you know, sort of rotations, but it was a short bench. Let's not make any bones about that. And so I do praise their effort. Let's start there. I've not read any of these articles. I've intentionally avoided them so far, and I've not seen any of the interviews or press conferences where this has been brought up, but I have seen the headline that there's some thought that Ole Miss was stealing Alabama signals. And I'm not going to, you know, conclusively say that that was true. Nor am I going to, say that it's not true. Am I going to poo-poo it? I think if the players on the field, they're going to have the greatest read on that. No pun intended. They're given the signals. And so if they hear the offense sort of respond or react or shift, and not just once, that might be accidental, but two and three and four and a quarter and another quarter, then, you know, I'm going to give sort of credence in that direction. And so I'll go with that. And I won't sort of say that that would not have an influence. That absolutely could have an influence on the offensive production. But I'll say this. We don't have a signal. We don't have a defense. We don't have an alignment. We don't have a stunt. We don't have a blitz. We don't have a sub package, a rush program, a rabbit, coverage in the back. We don't have any of those that has a dead zone in the field. We don't have a blitz that leaves a side of the offense open or a side of the defense open for running lanes. We don't have a coverage package that allows the tight end to go uncovered. And so if they knew our signals, then they could absolutely use that to their benefit. But we don't have a formation, a structure. We don't have a scheme. We don't have a play where we're not covering every blade of grass. There might be a backside. There might be you leave a blitz, you blitz, and so that leaves a soft spot. I'll grant you that. But don't think we don't have we don't have coverage for that either. We don't have, we're going to blitz from this side and then have no protection over there, no backup. We have to, we're going to blitz from this side and rotate someone over. When we send a corner blitz, it's not like we don't have a plan for covering the receiver, right? We play a lot of man-to-man. And so if we send a corner blitz, it's not as if we have no plan for covering that wide receiver. And so if they know the signal, hey, the Alabama's sending a cover blitz, so that wide receiver is going to be wide open. Well, that's just not true. It might be, hey, they're sending a corner blitz, and so we're going to get a safety on this wide receiver, and so we're going to have a better matchup. I will buy that more than sort of wide open. Well, Ole Miss had a lot of wide open. And so I think knowing the signals can have an impact. I don't think what we saw in the game was purely based on signals. It may have been part and parcel, but it was not the whole. And so we need to think about that. And that's disconcerting, right? You almost wish it were something so stupid dumb. How did they know our signals? Let's figure the hell out of that. But now that the next team won't know our signals, that'll never happen again. It's not so conclusive. I wish that it were, right? Let's be realistic. I wish that it were. Next team's not going to know our signals because we're going to invent, new signals. And so now we'll never have this issue again. We'll never have a tight end uncovered. We'll never have a running back with a clear lane. It doesn't work that way, right? Because it wasn't the signal that completely left a portion of the field wide open. It wasn't the signal. Conclusively, 100%, it was not, the signal. And so, and I'm sort of ranting on that because I feel very strongly about that. It's part of a whole. It is not the whole. I guess that's the point. Let's sum that up. Again, another part of the whole, I might argue a bigger part of the whole, is Ole Miss and their disciplined execution of fakes and misdirections. The Saban defense, and this is true of a lot of defenses, is built on signals. Follow your cue. Trust your eyes. We hear Saban say this, and we've heard him say this for years. Follow your cues. Trust your eyes. Read. It will carry you to the ball. You don't play defense necessarily all 11 players, every snap, every play, just go attack the ball. That's not how defense is played. You read the cues of the man. You read the cues of your responsibility. And so a cornerback will peel off his wide receiver when there's a running play, but a cornerback won't have his eyes in the backfield watching for the handoff. The cornerback's going to read his wide receiver. And so when the wide receiver goes to block, then he knows that he could potentially peel off, or he needs to look for the ball somewhere else. And so there's a subtlety there. There's a subtlety that says not everyone is watching the ball. Everyone is watching a cue. And their gap, their responsibility, their part of the field, their player to watch, their responsibility, watching the keys, the cues from that player, from that responsibility. So if you think about that's how typically defenses are played, certainly Saban defenses are played, and you go back and you watch Ole Miss with the ball, every single play had a fake off of it. Every single play. There were multiple plays where an Alabama defender would tackle Matt Carroll and he wouldn't have the ball. There were multiple plays where an Alabama defender would tackle the running back and he wouldn't have the ball. Cause every play had a fake. He would put the ball in the running back's belly and then fake a jump pass, which, by the way, they scored a touchdown on early. So that's going to draw in linebackers. He would put the ball in the belly and keep the ball and do something else. A lot of teams do that, but Ole Miss did that with a level of precision that I think disrupted the view, the keys, the cues that the defenders were watching for. I will go so far as to say that Lane knew how defense is coached at Alabama, that he knew some of the keys, some of the cues that were being watched, and he's a pretty clever dude to think about how he could disrupt those. Have you seen a game? I thought this was interesting. Another sort of signal in this direction, that Ole Miss had two, maybe it was three, definitely two, blocking downfield. And so that's a cue, and that's something that Saban has really barked at over the years. If you have a lineman downfield blocking, you know, beyond a certain point, well, that's a signal that it's a run. You can't pass in that situation. It is against the rules. And so when you have a lineman downfield blocking and you pass, Saban has made the point, as has, you know, other coaches as well, that it is it becomes impossible to defend when you are signaling, even in accordance with the rules, that this is a run, and then you throw a pass, that becomes an unfair advantage. That's not just misdirection. That, you know, that crosses into cheating. And so if you think that was called two or three times, how many times was it not called? And I don't know. And I'm not piling on the refs here, but there's a reality there, right? That it's going to happen. And at least at the fringes, it's going to happen and not be called every single time. We know Auburn was pretty brazen with this, and it gave us fits. And so to think that Ole Miss and Lane Kiffin wouldn't sort of toy with that, wouldn't sort of press the envelope there, knowing that that's going to miss, that's going to throw off the signals and the keys and the cues. I wouldn't be surprised that would be part of his game plan. Why would it not be? And so I think if we take that in whole, and look, I mean, Matt Carroll gets an Emmy for his sort of acting, or his playing out the fakes. That's as good as a performance, I think, as I've seen a quarterback doing that. And Ole Miss certainly did that to Alabama. So I think there's a lot of credit that goes there. Some of that is within the confines of the rules. Some of it, maybe in a gray area. Again, not passing blame. I just think that's something that we absolutely need to work on. We need to, it's hard to, you know, how do you reset all of your cues? I don't think you necessarily need to do that. I just think you need to continue to execute with discipline. I do think we need to mix up our signals. If there's any, you know, that can get in the head of the defender. And so I think we need to do that, whether that was true or not. We need to continue to get the effort. And then we need to clean up the missed tackles. There were a couple times, you know, missed tackles kept them on the field, you know, third down conversions. There were a couple of sort of sloppy plays. And I don't think, you know, I'll pull out the old saw, you know, from DeBose, right? And I think he's right. I sort of laughed at the time, and I think he's right. Sometimes it's four or five plays over the course of the game that really can impact the outcome. And I think there were probably, you know, four or five defensive plays that Alabama could have made. And it's easy to pick on just some of the third down conversions. But there were definitely some long third down conversions that just mathematically, you think you don't hit that many, even if you do have a good offense. And just everything was clicking for Ole Miss. And so I think there are multiple factors that contributed to that. There was some poor play. They probably did have some insight on our signals, and they did sort of abuse our keys, and that's within the confines of the game. So I'm not mad at that. I'm just calling that out. I think there was something there. There were a number of times, not just once or twice, because it happens once or twice. Somebody executes a good fake, and it's kind of funny. Oh, you tackled the quarterback, he didn't have the ball, or you tackled the running back and he didn't have the ball. but it was almost every play with Ole Miss. And so that tells me that the cues, what the players were reading, they were reading them correctly, I would speculate, but the fake was so precise, was so tight that it was thrown off the defender. And if you have one, you know, if you have a defender tackling the running back when he doesn't have the ball, that's a defender that's not in play. And so I do think that's not just, I don't think you could dismiss that, right? That is, you know, you're going to run right by the guy or pass just right by the guy who's tackling the running back without the ball when he could be, you know, sacking the quarterback or disrupting the quarterback or affecting the quarterback. So I do think there's something, I think there's something there. Was that us acting? Was that the Alabama defense acting sort of undisciplined? I don't know. I don't know that I could watch the film and break that down. I think the coaches certainly could. And I think they're going to spend a lot of time on this Sunday doing that. So that's what I've got in terms of a quick hitter, certainly a sample of, I think, what the larger show is going to look like. I have some interesting sort of picks for offensive mini game balls. If you guys were watching the game closely, you could probably predict who some of those are going to be. I don't have a clue on defense. If there's a mini game ball, you know, who necessarily would get that. So we'll have to take a look. We'll have to take a look at that. And then one thing that we'll have to watch out closely as we get into this week of practice is how are we going to handle that that strong safety spot with Jordan Battle having to sit out the first half. I think that by the letter of the rule that was targeting, I think in the spirit of the game, it was not. And if you watch the Tennessee-Georgia game, I think there was a very similar play early in that game where they had a defender that the letter of the rule, but the spirit of, and I think, and there was some good commentary about that that says, hey, you know, targeting is not out of the game. It never goes away. But you see players not light, you see defenders not light up offensive players in the way that they used to. And so I wonder if there's an opportunity to sort of look at that rule a little differently. I don't know. It's not sour grapes here. It's just a point of conjecture. I do hate that we're going to miss him for the first half of the upcoming Georgia game. And so it'll be interesting to see how that impacts. I know he's only a sophomore and he's only started a handful of games, but you know, we need help in the secondary, and I'd look at him as one of our stronger points in the secondary. And so we're going to need some help. we're going to need some help there. And so that's going to be interesting to see. But anyways, that's a point for another podcast, another discussion. These are some quick topics coming out of the Ole Miss game. I still managed to run longer than I thought I would, but nonetheless, a lot of interesting stuff to talk about. If you have any questions, kick them over. We'll take a look at them, and we'll go from there. Hey, thanks. Roll Tide.